Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is getting more and more beautiful each day. These days are beautiful. It's nice to be away from cold weather, not have to wear a jacket all the time. Be able to just come out and enjoy the day. We have been continuing in a study through the book of Joshua. And we started, of course, at the beginning. We're now headed to chapter 5 of Joshua. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter, Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And it reads, "So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourselves, and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.' So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the day after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons. He raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they had stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal till this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the same day, very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your foot, and for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." This morning I would like to use as the subject of my message, consecration before conquest. Now, most students of the Bible are aware of the record of David confronting the giant Goliath. David, being a young sheep herder, was told by his father to go and take some food to his brothers who were on the front line, camped at the Philistines against the Philistines. Now, upon arrival, David overhears the bold speech of Goliath, claiming that he, you know, he could take out the people, the men of Israel, and making his threats. And so David also sees that the men of Israel are running from Goliath and are scared and are afraid of him. And so he begins himself to make bold statements about Goliath, and who is this uncircumcised Philistine, he says. And after making these statements, the king, Saul, calls him to him. And he begins to, David begins to make it clear that he is no stranger to dangerous encounters. Because David wanted to go out there and confront him. And the king is like, no, you're just a young man. You know, you can't go out there. But David said, look, this is not nothing new for me. I've fought bears and lions. I can handle this. And so Saul decides to not only let the young man fight, but also tries to give him what he probably considers to be the best preparation possible, given the urgency of the situation. He gives him his very own armor and a sword. But what the king didn't realize is that God had already been preparing David not to depend on the man-made weapons of war, but on what God had already placed within him. Now, while it was true David had already killed bears and lions, he would never have been able to even do that much had it not been true that God had already prepared him for that situation. It was Samuel who said of David that he was a man after God's own heart. David himself said in Psalms 51, verse 16 and 17, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." David could be confident that he could win the victory against Goliath, not because he was prepared for battle on a battlefield, but because he had prepared by consecrating himself to God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." See, every day that we open our eyes in this world, we are in a spiritual battle. So how do we get ready for that battle? How do we prepare to fight the devil and his demons? Well, chapter 5 of the book of Joshua helps us to answer those questions. It shows us how God prepared Israel to battle with Jericho. And so in verse 1, he said, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from the children of Israel until they had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." Now, if there was ever a time when it was good for the nation of Israel to go in, it would have been then. You know that they say, the old saying, strike while the iron is hot. You know, this is the time when, you know, your enemies are all discouraged, and they know that, hey, you know, these people, they're scared of us. Man, we can take these people. And not only that, but the fact that they had just witnessed God perform a miracle by splitting the Jordan River. You know, I mean, so here it is. You know, they are pumped up. They're revved up. They're ready to go. You know, they know that God is going to give them this land. If there was ever a time where it would seem like this is the best time to strike, this would be it. But apparently, that's not what God sees. Joshua said in verse 2-3, "At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel.'" Again, the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Never mind the fact that there is a place actually called the hill of foreskins. It is interesting to see that instead of taking advantage of the fact that these people were ready for battle, God says, no, let's take a moment and circumcise everybody. Not everybody, but all the men Everybody who's about to go into war, these are the same ones that has to go through this process that's going to kind of leave them vulnerable. And if you read through Genesis chapter 34, you will remember that Jacob's sons, they convinced the men of Shechem to get circumcised because one of them had raped their sister Dinah. And so they convinced him to go ahead and get circumcised. And then Simeon and Levi go in and wipe out all the men while they're trying to heal. And so you see, here it is. God is having the men of Israel to become just as vulnerable as those men at this time when they're about to go into a battle. You know, and so why it doesn't seem to make sense. But we look at verses 4 through 7 and we'll get the answer. It says, and this is the reason why Joshua circumcised him. All the men who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way. After that, they had come out of Egypt, for all the people who had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way, as they came out of Egypt, had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, so all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land, which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. So even though circumcision was a commandment all the way back to Abraham, this was something that they had maintained up until this point. Isaac had gotten circumcised. Jacob, his son. This was something that they should have been continuing up to this, you know, to this point. It was something that should have been there on a continual basis. And however, we have an entire generation of men who don't have this circumcision, who have not taken this basic step towards getting obeying the covenant of God. That's like having a congregation of thousands of men, men and women, and not one of them have gotten baptized. And see, we're not talking about something as simple as just forgetting your Bible at church, or you know, just leaving your keys in the car or something. The circumcision was a physical sign of their covenant with God. In today's world, we wear wedding rings as a sign of our marriage, of our commitment to our spouses. And yet God did not choose to do his covenant with a ring. He did it in their flesh. He didn't write it on paper or even on stone. He said, look, my covenant will be in their flesh. And see, all the male children were supposed to be circumcised after they turned 8 years old. They were supposed to be circumcised. It was something that was supposed to continue on. And none of these men had gotten that. And so they had to be circumcised. And if they're expected to have God on their side the way that they want them to, they have to make sure that they are in line with his covenant. Joshua said in verses 8 through 9, so it was when they had just finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. He said that he rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Amen. He was giving them a new start. He was allowing them to be able to renew their covenant. See, leave it to God to take us from what we used to be to what he wants us to be. In Egypt, they were nothing more than just slaves. Now, they were God's chosen people. In the wilderness, those born in Egypt and did not keep God's commands, they died out there in the wilderness. Now God will fulfill his promise through their children, and they will have success because their trust and obedience to God. Now, it's not completely clear why the Israelites who died on the way from Egypt, it's not clear why they did not go ahead and circumcise all these young men. I mean, it was something that was supposed to be a continual covenant. We could say that maybe they just forgot, but it's unlikely that an entire nation would lose sight of something so important. But one possibility is that maybe they were discouraged. See, that's not really an acceptable excuse, but it's understandable. See, they had come all that way. They had so many, you know, things that they had looked forward to. That they were anticipating getting this wonderful place where they could have their own land for the first time. Most of those people who came out of Egypt, all of those people came out of Egypt, they were born there in Egypt. That's all that they knew was that land. And now here it is, they're going to have their own place where nobody else can say anything to them. Nobody could limit where their boundaries were. Nobody could tell them that they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And yet, now, they made it that far, and unfortunately, they allowed their fear to be a stumbling block to them. And now, they wouldn't get the very land that they were looking for. Sometimes it can be very hard to stay motivated to do what you're supposed to do when things aren't going the way you want them to. And if we let it, that discouragement can cause us to lose focus on what is really most important. And before you know it, fear and doubt starts to set in, and it can even lead us to being disobedient or just downright rebellious. And just like Israel refusing to go into the promised land, we miss out on the promises of God. But if we keep in mind, in the very first place, that God is faithful and that he has always stays true to his word, then it will help us to stay focused and stay on the right track and realize and see the larger picture that God has in store for us. And instead of only trying to get things our way, we seek his way. Things can work out in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Then we'll not only experience his mercy and grace, but we will also help other people to do the same. No one in a committed relationship wants to bend over backwards for someone who is not committed to them. But when God knows that we are truly for him, and we are true to our commitment to him, there is nothing that can stand in our way. In Genesis chapter 12, he told Abraham that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. And he promised Israel in Exodus chapter 23, verse 22, "But if you indeed obey his voice and do all I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries." And in Romans 8:31, Paul said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" But in order to experience the full scope of all that God has for us, all that he wants to bless us with, then we have to be ones who cut off the flesh, cut off our focus on the flesh. Amen. Now, while Joshua did this with the circumcision of the flesh, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 tells us, "In him you were also who were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Paul says God himself spiritually circumcised us through Christ. In this world, our flesh is what makes us who we are. It can be a physical representation of our failures and our disappointments, but it also represents our intellect, our skill, our potential, and everything we hope to achieve. When we come to Christ, God seeks to cut away all that we used to be so that he can replace it with everything that we can be in his Son.
Amen.
And through the process, we consecrate ourselves to no longer be servants of sin, but serve God for eternity. He said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." And in verse 5, he says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He's saying, put away the filth of the flesh. See, that concept of putting away the filth of the flesh carries with it the concept of shedding ourselves of the sinful nature, of that compelling nature that drives us to want to do things that we have no business doing. It's hard to shed our sinful ways, though, sometimes when we are so focused on chasing after the very things that we are supposed to be against. God wants us to be consecrated, separate from the world, not like everybody else. So although there is no longer a physical sign of our covenant with God, it should still be evident in the way that we live our lives. Question is, can people tell that you have consecrated your life to God? More importantly, can God see your consecration? God seeks to consecrate Israel. He renews the covenant by circumcising the nation, and they remember their deliverance in Exodus from Egypt by keeping the Passover. For the first time in 40 years, they did not have to go out and collect manna. I mean, could you imagine? That means that they could literally taste God fulfilling his promise. I mean, could you, it's just, can you imagine, every day we read about how some of the people complained that they were just eating the same bread every single day. And now here it is, they have the opportunity to eat the very fruit from the land. Can you imagine, that could have been the sweetest fruit or grains that they had ever had. You know, I remember one time one comedian saying that when you starve in a cracker, it would taste like it was the best thing in the world. I mean, could you imagine, you realize how close you are to getting what God wants when the very food that you're eating has changed. Amen. They left behind everything because God is starting them off in a new life. They left behind Egypt and they left behind the wilderness. They left behind what they used to be. And that reminds me of what 2 Corinthians says when he said in 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. See, when we consecrate ourselves for God and his purpose, he gives us a new beginning. And not only in this life, but he tells us in that day to come. I mean, the minute when Jesus comes back in the air, we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We will have not only a new life, but we will have new bodies. Amen. Those of us missing body limb parts or are missing eyes or have problems with arthritis or problems with our backs, a problem with our feet, problem with our kidneys, whatever the issues may be, God says that's all going to disappear. Never to return, ever again. And not only that, we will have a new quality of life. Time will begin to lose all meaning. God has many wonderful promises for his people, but they are all contingent on the fact that we consecrate ourselves to his purpose. In this chapter, God has them focused on consecration. Even in verse 13, Joshua is met by a stranger, and it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have not come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? When the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, and for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. He asked a relatively simple question. Are you for us or against us? And he basically says, neither. He says, I am here for God's purpose.
Amen.
So the question is, what's your focus? Are you living only for what you want? Are you here for just your own success? Or are you following the path that the world has laid out for you? The path that the enemy hopes you go down? Or are you seeking to live for the one who loves you more than you could ever know?
Amen.
Although it's not completely clear exactly who this person is, it is clear that he commands the armies of God. And so this man tells him to take his sandals off because the land, the same land that they are there to claim, was holy or set apart for God's purpose.
Amen.
You see, it can be easy at times to forget that God already owns everything we could ever want or need. He already has made sure that everything is ready for us. As we move towards the future and draw closer to the areas in which we desire to gain the victory, let us first take time to consecrate ourselves to the one, according to Psalms 50 and verse 10, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God is ready to provide us everything we need in our lives. The question is, are we prepared to consecrate ourselves to what he wants? See, we can live our lives to just what we want, and we can see how far we get. The truth of the matter is, when we have, as we looked at this morning in our Bible study, the more we focus on what God wants, the more he is willing to bless our lives. The more he is willing to bend the very laws of nature on our behalf, simply because we are living lives that are pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
But the same one who promises that he is faithful to those whom he loves has also promised that he can condemn those who don't follow his word. You see, I mean, we know that the nation of Israel, they came out of Egypt, and even though they had been promised the promised land, because they chose to do something different than what God wanted, they ended up not enjoying the land. They had it right in the grasp of their fingers. And yet, because of their own fears, it kept them from getting what they had been blessed with. Today, in this day and age, we already have a land flowing with milk and honey. God is already looking to bless our lives even more so. The question is, are we really willing to separate from what the world wants us to do? See, it's very easy. We talked about this morning how it's easy to just go with the flow of society and just go with what's been happening. But the question is, are you really different? Are you separate? Are you apart from what the world has for you?
Amen.
We have to be God's people, a bright, shining light in the darkness, guiding people to God, not those who are trying to be just like everybody else. And when we start to have that attitude, then it can become contagious, and we can pass it on to other people. And pass it on to our children, pass it on to our grandchildren. And then before you know it, the next generation after them is going to be serving God. And God's word will continue on through perpetuity because we have decided to be faithful to him.
Amen.
God is going to make sure that his will is done. The most important thing for us is to make sure that we are in line with what he is trying to do.
Amen.
So this morning, take time to consider what ways you are consecrating your life. Consider what ways in which your life is in line with God's word, or is it out of place? Are you just living for whatever your hands can get a hold of? Or do you realize and understand that there is another part of you that will endure for all eternity? That is the part you need to focus on. That is the part that you need to realize is the only thing that will continue past this world. Because everything else will pass away. The only thing we can take with us is how we have lived our lives. Now, ultimately, what remains will be what's written in that book. And those two books, the Bible says the books will be open when we come before the Lord. And the only thing that will be remaining, we can't take gold, we can't take anything, all our accomplishments won't really mean much. All that will matter is, have we served God? How we live a life that's pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
this morning, let that be your path. Let that be the way that you choose to live. Consecrate yourself to God for his purposes, and he will do wonderful things in your life. Whatever your needs are, make sure you let them know, be known to God. We can pray for you. God says for us to cast our burdens on him in prayer. We need to be ones who always stay in communication with the very source of all of our blessings.
Amen.
This morning, you've heard the word. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as being the one true Son of God, and be baptized for remission of your sins. Those who have not had the opportunity to make God the Father of their lives, then this is the opportunity to be able to be blessed beyond measure. To realize and understand that God can do wonderful things in your life if you let him.
Amen.
Whatever your needs are, let him be known. As together we stand and sing the invitations.
Oh.